I want to talk to you about family. How many of you are in a family? How many aren't? Because we need to talk after. You've all got parents, and whatever that means. You maybe have siblings. You may have, if you're at our age or around this age, then you probably got grandkids. And it was great. We went to Elaine's mom's birthday party yesterday. She turned 90. It's funny. We had big balloons with 90 on it, you know. And the gal that was tying the balloons up, I looked up and the zero was heading down the river, like about 2,000 feet, and just kind of, so she was only 9. But then we figured out quickly that it's 9 decades, so we put that okay. And then there was two other big clumps of flowers big clumps of balloons. And one of them was gone, and we looked up on one of the big bull pine trees that we have there, and that was where it was for a short time because the needles are pretty sharp. So there was just plastic garbage hanging from there for a while. And then we were laughing about that because we had one more clump of balloons. And then we looked up and they were gone. We don't know where they went. But it was a great time. But our kids came and our grandkids came and Elaine's mom's friends with the unit chief and the ambulance. So yes, an ambulance came and our grandkids were able to go through the ambulance. And man, it was just the best time for us because we got together as family. Family came from different places all over the province to just celebrate Elaine's mom's birthday. We're going to get together next weekend and celebrate my mom's life. It's different. It's the same community. It's the same, a lot of the same people. But we're going to be celebrating a different aspect of family. Family is so important. God planned family, and we talked about that, and that's why we kind of focused the whole summer series, or the July series anyways, on family. So this morning I want to talk about husbands and wives. Yeah, whoa, yeah. The marriage is God's perfect plan for family. Isn't it interesting that just last week, the Richmond City Board, our, you know, counselors, and they voted to have SOGI in our schools. It's the only place so far that's had it. I guess it's the school board that did it. And SOGI is the new program that they have, sexual orientation and gender identity, and it just runs in the face of everything to do with family. Now they say no, it doesn't because it's still, you know, it could be two women that are the parents, and it could be two men who could be the parents, but it's not the definition of what God has defined as family in the Bible, and that doesn't change. I don't care which society you're in. It doesn't change. So it makes it tough. It's not the only country in the world that is in this kind of a dilemma, but we as a body of Christ need to be good examples. Yes, Jeff, we need to take up the offering. I just, you know, yeah, I need to get paid next week. Well, this is really organized, eh? So can we have the ushers come forth? And it's still a form of worship, and then I'll pick up where we kind of left off. They actually weren't waving or anything, but Jeff just came up and said, where are we going to put the offering in? And I go, right before I preach, and then I start telling stories and forget. But then I saw Jeff back there, and he was very, very composed and just reminded me. Father, we thank you. This is an opportunity to give into the kingdom, into the harvest we talked about already this morning. We can give and test you in this area. Finances are a big thing. Finances pivot on all our decisions, and we sometimes, it takes away our emotional currency for other things because we're trusting in the systems of this world. I thank you, Lord, that we have opportunity to trust you. And you said, test me. Test me in this. And so I ask that you just bless the gift and the giver. Those who can't give or just newcomers here, Lord, we just pray that they wouldn't feel an obligation to do that. But there would be just this move of trusting you with everything that they have, including everything that they are. And I pray this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. So I'll keep going on my story here. So we have this challenge in our country now, more so than we've ever had before. And it's a serious challenge. And the way to win this is not necessarily to go down and pound the pavement. I think it's great that some people are there and protesting. But to be an example, we need to be an example. There are so many families that are destroyed today by divorce, and there's so many families that are destroyed by all sorts of different things. And so we have a lot of kids who are they just don't know who they are. They don't have a father, and they don't have a mom or whatever the case is. And so it shapes who they are. I think Elaine and I grew up with very dysfunctional families, and I just think, like, wow, come on, what would it be like? And if you were raised in a non-dysfunctional family, that's awesome. But you're not the majority anymore. And so we need to love everyone who's involved in the whole Soji movement. But we do need to be examples of Christ. Christ was an example to the world, and we need to be an example to this world today and reflect Christ. So I want to talk to you about husbands and wives and marriage, God's perfect plan for the family. He has a plan A. And this is what the plan A is. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. He had named all the animals. Pretty smart guy. He looked at all the animals. He looked at the puppies. You know, and you know how much you fall in love with puppies, and what is it, man's best friend? Except the ones that bite you. They're not your best friend. But he had all these choices, and there wasn't one that was equal, the one that that God had for him. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took out one of the man's ribs. Then he closed up the place with flesh. I was hoping when I was a paramedic that I'd go through and I'd find that women had either one more rib than men, or, you know, so then we could say, well, look, they took that one out. That's the one. That's, you know, but it didn't work that way. I've always tried to find these little things that nobody else has thought of because probably they're ridiculous. But and then I could come up with this and then write a book on it and, you know, be really famous. But no, not going to happen. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Look at that, eh? One rib. And he created this woman. One rib. Isn't it funny that he took a rib? You know why? Like, why didn't he take another head? Right? And then you'd have two brains. You know, why didn't he take, you know, an arm and then just start with an arm? At least he had fingers to start with, you know, like, but he didn't. He just took a rib. You know why he took a rib? So that he didn't take a foot so that the woman could be trod over. But he took a rib so that the woman would be beside the man. And it doesn't say this, but anatomically, I think he probably took a rib near the heart. And I think that's because the heart is what connects. The Spirit of God connects us, but the heart keeps that connection going. So, this is plan A. Because there's no plan B. How many of you make a plan A? I make plan A and then I make plan B in case plan A doesn't work out. Or maybe plan C in case B doesn't work out. And maybe sometimes if the situation's really bad, I go right to F or G, you know? And then I know I'm in trouble because I'm already thinking of M and N. And I know that if we get to M and N, you know, S and T are not going to be that good. So this is what Plan A says. After God created this woman, they're the only ones there, a bunch of animals running around and awesome stuff like that, but all the green foliage and stuff, just everything beautiful, and he creates this woman. Like he woke up, right? Put him in a deep sleep, he woke up, and and this is a different translation altogether, and the man said, oh, wow. He did. She was the most beautiful woman on earth. I mean, she didn't have any peer pressure either right then. But she was the most beautiful because God created her. And I don't think that Adam was kind of an overstuffed dude with a bald head. You know, not that I better be careful. Because he was pretty young. Okay, he could have grown. Who knows if he didn't grow that way? I don't know. Because he lived quite a while. But she was a beautiful person in every aspect, in body, spirit, and soul. She was beautiful. And actually, this is what Adam said right after a while. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Do you see the identity? She'll be called woman because she is part of man. And then verse 24, it says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. Isn't that awesome? In a world today they say that selfies, there's so many selfies taken, it's unbelievable. Like, there's millions of selfies taken. Mostly the selfies are taken because the person wants to see what they look like. And then I was at a hockey game, and there was a girl in front of me, and she was quite attractive already, but she had all this makeup and stuff, and she had a small London Drugs with her, cosmetic department. And also, she wasn't walking at the hockey game, because when the selfies were there, it wasn't like this out to the game. It was like, and of course, I was sitting close enough to see that she was going, and then she'd dig into London Drugs, and she'd go, droot, droot, and then she'd take a picture, she'd go, and then she'd take, all right, like that, and you click, and I don't know whether she's sending them to anybody, maybe to herself, I don't know. The beauty is not in the outside. It is. I mean, there's physical attraction. But the beauty, as Scripture says, is in the spirit. People reflecting Jesus, women and men both. If you have a confidence that Christ lives in you and that he's pleased with you, that he loves you, you can be basically transparent and feel no shame. You ever thought about it? Like, oh, I'm too short, I'm too fat. You know, we're at the family gathering. Don't you love those people that say, whoa, gathered a bit of stuff there, eh, Jim? I just tell them, you should have seen me when I was large. Like, you know, and then you'll just go to the other side of the tent where they have lots of, you know, beef buns and stuff like that. And somebody say, wow, you lost a lot of weight. And they think, like, what is this, a schizophrenic family? Like, come on. Like, either fat or you're not, or you're thin or you're not, or whatever. It's, I don't know, some people just have to say, wow, you're looking old. Well, of course I'm looking old. I'm getting old. What am I supposed to look like? You're losing your hair. That's fine. I'm thankful. It grows everywhere else. It grows in my ears. Grows in my nose. Grows on my back. It looks like a sweater. Like, what, like, I can't help it. I don't have much up here. Not hair I'm talking about, okay? But you got to be comfortable with yourself. You do. And if you're comfortable, you'll have a confidence that God is comfortable with you as well. And actually, if you can have the confidence that God's comfortable with you, you can have the confidence that you can be comfortable with yourself. And if that works in your marriage, that's awesome. You should love your spouse. Husbands, love your spouse. Wives, love your spouse. There's a lot of things that are going to pull you away. This world is full of them. Our advertising is unbelievable. I don't even watch TV anymore. I'm sick and tired of watching all the garbage that just pits everybody who's normal against everybody who's airbrushed. I'm going to get airbrushed. I'm going to see if somebody can just brush me up. You know, take some pounds off. Take away the pimples and the wrinkles. Come on, you are who you are. Fall in love with yourself, not in a wrong way, not in a narcissistic way. Whoa, you're lucky people. You get to look at me this morning. Not that way, but fall in love with yourself because you're created in the image of God. And then fall in love with your spouse because she's created or he's created in the image of God, and you are one flesh. And they became one flesh, it says. They became one flesh. We do a lot of marriage counseling, and we use that scripture. And then I say when the battle comes in is they just want to figure out which one they're going to be. You're going to be me or are you going to be you? That's where the battle comes, in the one flesh. You're a new flesh. You have to understand that God changed so many things. So here's one of my favorite scriptures, and I use it lots in sermons when I'm doing weddings. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it says this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, you don't hear that one first. You just jump right down to wives, submit. Anybody ever heard that? Huh? Wives, submit? That's a ringer, man. It's in a lot of the marriage ceremonies. The first thing off the chart right there, wives, submit. And, you know, if you're raised in a Christian home, and you could probably follow that, okay? Not in our world today. I did a wedding I was out of the ministry, and I was back in welding, and because I was a preacher, I could still, you know, do weddings and stuff. So one of these guys said to me, hey, would you do our wedding? And I said, sure. So we went out to this little place, and I read that scripture. Wives, submit to your husbands. I thought I was at a chiropractor's convention because every neck went snap. Every female neck. All right? And every female neck with that head was looking at me with laser eyes because they weren't submitting type people. They were just people that were married to welders and truckers and very much like Elaine and I were before we were Christians. And so I knew that was a bit of a tense place, and so I got through the ceremony okay and pronounced them husband and wife, and then they had the reception, and this one woman came up with one of those, it was a long time ago, it was one of those little, you know, handy cams, and she came right at me, and she was like investigating or interrogating more. She says, so what did you mean? And she was backing me out through into the wall. Like, what did you mean that you submit? What does it mean women submit? And I'm like this. I can't go anywhere else anymore. And I'm thinking, this is when I wish I still drank because I didn't know what to do. And so God just gave me this. I said to her, I says, so if your husband loved you the way that you need to be loved, would you have any trouble submitting? And she said, no. And I thought, that's exactly it. It's love. It's love. And you get to practice that love in your marriage. And that goes down as your kids watch you in your marriage. You are equal. You are equal. The wife is not the servant to the husband. You're equal. I hear amen there, and it sounds like a female voice. So this is what Paul did this, but he did it and caused a lot of strife for preachers. Because he goes right in, submit yourself one to another out of reverence for Christ. And then it jumps right down to wives. And wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body for which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. This has been used in abusive ways for men to have whatever sexual things he wants with his wife when there's no love attached to it. There's all sorts of abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse that goes on. This is not acceptable. This is not what this says. Wives, you do not have to, listen to this. Wives, you do not have to submit in an abusive situation. I'll counsel you not to do that. Because God does not want you, just as a father, I don't want my daughter or my son in an abusive situation. There's laws against that. And the religious understanding of that for those people who use it in the wrong sense is totally unacceptable. If you do a proper exegesis of this, if you do proper study in this, this does not mean that you control your wife and that the wife has to submit to everything. You need to know that you, wives, should be loved like Christ loves the church. Does Christ ever raise his voice to the church? Does Christ ever sleep on the couch because he's mad? Does Christ ever physically abuse anyone? If you understand, husbands, that wives will submit because you love them, not because the Bible says to submit. It's really quiet in here. I knew it would be quiet in here. People are looking, it's already after 12. Can you just wrap this up? So let's go on to husbands, okay? I did take a little shot at them earlier. It says, husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave herself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing her with blood or with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Amen. What is your whole purpose, husband? Why did you get married? Why did you pick this person? Why did you care for this person? Because that's because you loved her. And she trusted you. Can you imagine? Think about this. This woman, Elaine, I asked her to marry me when, like, I was pretty mature. I was 19. Like, what in the world? 19. I knew everything. So why wait, right? 19 years old. You know, and I said, why don't we get married and we'll live together for the rest of our lives? Like, really? What's going to happen in 10 years? What's going to happen in 15 years? What's going to happen in 20? 46 years last weekend. Good. I think it's awesome. I think it's better that she is still with me and still loves me. We love each other more than we did then. We do. And we're having lots of fun together, and I like to hang out with her more than anybody else. Sorry. I just do. I like to just go with her. I like to hang out with her. I like to just do stuff with her. That's what this scripture's talking about. Because that's the way Christ is with the church, his bride. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to go places with you. He wants to talk with you. He just wants to hang out and sit by the campfire. Last night when I was going over my sermon, I had a good fire burning, and I had my MacBook sitting there, and it was dark, and I thought, man, this is the life. Two technologies, campfires and MacBooks. It's a great combination. I just really enjoyed it because I was able to just focus on what God was saying to me again for you this morning. Here's another thing. Husbands, it's in the same way. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. We're all members of his body. I hope you look after your body, guys. I mean, I fight with that all the time. I've had so many diets that I could write a book called This Diet and That Diet, and they would be brand new chapters all the way through, and it'd be about 1,000 chapters. So I lose and then I gain, and then I lose and then I gain. I'm doing really good, you know, and then it's ice cream time. You know what? It just, I don't know what it is. It's the devil of ice cream. That's what it is. It's the spirit ice cream comes upon me and I just give in. The spirit of maple walnut. No, it's just, but you need to walk, you need to exercise, you need to eat properly. But you also need to look after yourself. You need to shower. You do. You need to put on clean clothes. You need to get your hair cut. Get the hair cut out of your ears. She's got to stand next to you sometimes. And if it's like standing by a fuller brush going back and forth on her face, you should get the hair done. Go get your hair done when she gets it done. Just get that stuff cleaned out there. They got this cute little rig. I'm not selling it myself, but I find it really handy. You got to love your body. And if you do, it'll just transfer into loving your spouse. And wives, you know, Peter talks a bit about that, you know, and I'll get a bit into that. But come on, guys. Love them. Care for them. Buy them things. Shower things on them. Don't say, hey, I think you should go for a complete makeover. No, that's not it. You know, like you could say, you know, have you thought maybe I'd like to bless you going to the spa or something like that or something. But don't say, wow, you know, that's, wow, I never noticed how big that brown spot was there. Don't do that. Husbands, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a profound mystery that I'm talking about, Christ and the church. Doesn't it interesting that it says, and for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother? Doesn't say a man or a woman will leave his father or her mother or however it works. It says a man will leave because a man needs to lead because Christ is our bridegroom, and we are the bride. And Christ left heaven. He came down here. We sang about it. It was so beautiful. He didn't want heaven without us, so he brought heaven down. Awesome. Don't you think those are beautiful words? He brought heaven down. It's exactly what this is saying. You as a man, you need to get away from your parents. That was harsh, wasn't it? But some people are still connected with their parents. And honestly, most parents don't want you connected anymore after a certain age. They want to be like the eagles that pull the bottom out of the nest so that you got to fall through. Get out. It's a healthy thing. It's really healthy. So parents, if you got kids that need to go, let them go. And kids, if you're going to get married, husbands, go and realize the responsibilities that go with that. You need to leave and unite. Cleave. Leave and cleave to that wife and you'll become one flesh. Now, it's like beating yourself up because you do, even as you're one flesh, you're still getting fights. Right? Do you ever get in fights? Well, at least you're consistent. He said all the time, so. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, Elaine and I, we have these, we call them in-depth Christian conversations. And it's like, we're only this far. How do we, why do we have to lift our voices? We haven't moved. it's like, and how come you can't see the clarity of my reasoning? How come you can't understand that I am the, I'm not only your husband, I'm a doctor. I'm a pastor. Like, come on. It should be a given. She should just say, yes, hon, that's right. It's not, I am still a person that has a lot of faults. I don't know how many. Maybe Elaine can help you with the number. I know there's still, but I've corrected three or four over the last 46 years. You need to be open. You need to be transparent. It says here, husbands, however, each one of you should, you must love your wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Wow. You do not get respect, you earn it. You don't get respect, you earn it. Your husbands, this is pretty tough on the guys today, but listen, you're the leaders in the home. If you treat your wife well, if you love her, she'll respect you. She will be so blessed that you are the spiritual leader in the home, that you are the only one that really loves her, the only one that just really pours into her, and that you are not looking at somebody else. Oh, I'm so sick and tired of this. I go out for lunch with Christian guys, and they're flirting with the waitresses. You just want to clock them. I don't know whether you know what that means. Just clock them, knock them right out on the table. I know I can't do that because it says in the scriptures not to be pugnacious. I love that word, pugnacious. It's kind of got that drift to it, you know, the word does. You stop doing that. You want to flirt with anybody? Flirt with your spouse. Love her, care for her. Even if she's been with you for 10 years or 20 years or 40 or 70 years, that is the one that you're supposed to love. Nobody else. Nobody else should have those affectionate words or even a sexy gestures towards them. That is unacceptable. You agree, guys? You agree, wives? See, a little louder there, wasn't it? So if that's what you do, even if you're going to the restaurant, don't comment on the waitress. She could be the same age as your granddaughter. I'm serious about this. It makes me nauseous. Because that does not reflect Jesus Christ. And that belittles and destroys your spouse. Because there's that comparison. Whew. I'm taking a few days off after this, so. It says here, husbands, in Colossians chapter 3, is that where we are? Yeah. Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Kind of what I said. And you know what, if you're wrong, guys, and that's the hardest part, is when you're wrong. There's a time when Elaine and I were having this kind of tense discussion, I probably mentioned this story already, and I knew I was wrong, and still I was defending myself. Ever been there? And you're just yelling, and then you know you lost, right? So I did. I said, I accept your apology. Now, you want to make sure you're not in a room where there's any sharp objects that they could stab you with. But I had to diffuse this thing. I lost. I was losing. And she just looked at me seriously and said, you're an idiot. And she was right. And she won the argument. And now we use that little term, not you're an idiot, but we use that little term every once in a while, you know, to say, you know, I accept your apology. That diffuses some of the tensions that we get into. And then it says, husbands, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will be become discouraged. Listen, dads, you're the most influential person in your kid's life. You are the most influential person in your kid's life. The way you treat her, not her, but your wife, the way you treat your spouse will reflect in how your kids treat each other and their spouses. It's huge. You have a huge responsibility. In 1 Peter 3:7, it says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner." Doesn't mean they're wimps. Doesn't mean that they don't have any power or any knowledge or wisdom. "And heirs with you the gracious gift of life, so that nothing hinders your prayers." How's your prayer life, guys? How's your relationship with your spouse? Are you respecting them? Are you protecting them? There's times when I've had to go to bat for Elaine because she was working for a boss who was mistreating her. And I went down and quit for her. I said, "You're not going to treat my wife. You can treat your other employees like that, but you will not treat this person. This is my wife. You will not have that opportunity from this day on. I don't care what you tell your staff, but she's not coming to work Monday. I need to protect her. I'll stand up for her anywhere. I will." There's a little one for wives. "Submit yourselves to your husbands as fitting in the Lord." Okay, so can you see how, where we get our strength for, where we get example from? It's from Christ. First Peter, here's this one about wives: "In the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence in your lives." And it goes on to say, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes." You know what the trouble with Scripture is? Is people take that to the extreme. So we are in a group of people who really took that to the extreme. And so the women never wore any makeup. They wore a kind of a bun on their head, and they had their hair all covered over all the time. And they wore plain gray long dresses. It was like walking into a room full of blah. Really. It was like, is there no color in this room? You match the screen on your computer. Like, it was like, those were the old days when you didn't have you had a monochrome screens. Like, it was like, what in the world is this? This is not to take this scripture literally. You should dress up. You should enhance your beauty, and just, you should be the most beautiful person you can actually be for your spouse. Don't dress up. Don't lose weight for someone else. Don't go looking for that, but that should come from your spouse. You want to be the best you can be for your spouse. That make any sense? Because the world will try to come in and separate you, divide you. The enemy will come in and try to destroy you. So, yeah, husbands, buy your wife jewelry. Buy her nice clothes. Not because, oh man, that sure is ugly stuff you're wearing. Don't do that. Like, use a little wisdom. But just encourage her when she dresses up and all that kind of stuff. Just invest in her. And you know what? She'll respond because she loves you. And if you do that, you're representing Christ. And husbands, you're the only person. This is the amazing thing. You're the only person that has this opportunity in this position. No one else in this whole world gets to represent Christ as a bridegroom looking towards his church, the bride. You ever thought of that? What a responsibility. But no other person in all of creation gets to do this. The wife can't do that for the husband because she's the bride. The church can't do that for Christ because he's the bridegroom. Do you get it? Do you think of how precious that is, that God trusts you with that in one other person's life? And all these people in the world, it's growing every day, 7.5 billion people. The person you're married to, that is the person. You should just invest in that person as much as you can. Love that person. Care for that person. And if you got kids, if they see that, if they see mom and dad kissing, not when we're our age, our kids go, you know. But hopefully we'll live long enough to see them when they're about our age kissing. And we can go, ick. Should hold hands. We hold hands lots. Should do all these things. Should invest in your marriage. Should go to a marriage conference. Should go away for a weekend. Buy her a car. I'll stop now. Lord, we just want to thank you so much that you have given us some direction. Lord, we're not limited to be able to do these things because we're human. We are not limited in any way because you'll guide us and direct us and you'll care for us. And you'll empower us to do this. You'll bless us with the right things to say and the right words to be encouraged with, to encourage our spouses. Guys, here, if you're married, this is a big responsibility to reflect Jesus Christ in your family, to your spouse. Guys that aren't married that are sitting here, when you get married, this is what you need to be looking for. Gals who are here, who are married, just make sure that you're not living in an abusive situation. You need some help. You need to get out of that. You need to make sure you're safe and your kids are safe. Then, girls who are here that aren't married right now, look for somebody who's like Jesus. Don't look for Super Jock or Mr. Brilliant or Mr. Wealthy. Look for Jesus in that person. Watch how that person treats you. Girls, if the guy's just out to make it with you right away, he does not respect you and he does not love you. Hear me? Guys, young guys, hear me this. If you're just trying to make time with a gal, you want to just get another score in your card or something like that, you are not respecting this woman, this daughter of Christ. So, Father, I pray that these kind of words would sit in and help us formulate our future. And we just give you the praise and the honor for your word, for this body, for the families that are represented here, the marriages that are represented as well. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.